have here is this book in Tibetan. Okay. We're going to talk today about page 41. Now, what it is you'll have it organized, you'll have everything well organized for you to teach your own students. And I much regret that I didn't do this in the first 20 years of my education. I don't have anything organized from my Lama teachers. I much regret it. Okay, this is Shinyin.
Shinyin.
Shua.
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 Nye Shua.
Nye Shua.
Okay, we're going to talk about today. We're going to start a section which is how to find a teacher, and after you find a teacher, how you should behave towards him. Okay? And that's really the first and it's the most important step you have to take. Okay? So we're going to go over the qualities of a good teacher. What kind of thing should you look for in a teacher?
When you ask accurate questions.
All right. This is very important. Okay. It's there are many stories of Tibetan Buddhists. There's a famous story of Adisha who brought Buddhism to Tibet. One of the people who brought. He went on a long trip. He went, I don't know, for 6 months or a year on a ship to go to Indonesia from India, which was very dangerous at that time, 1000 AD. And when he got there, he found the Lama he was looking for. This is the Lama who was one of the last Lamas in the world who knew how to teach the Bodhisattva vows. And he went there just to meet him. And he got there, and he didn't go to his house. He started checking around town. Is this a good teacher? Have you heard anything bad about him? What is he doing? He interviewed all his students. I think for 6 months he didn't... he checked him out for 6 months. Why? A Dharma teacher can really screw you up, alright? If he doesn't know what he's doing, if he's not qualified, he can ruin you, not for this life, but for many, many thousands of years, millions of years. He can ruin you. Okay? It's a very, very delicate question, who you allow to fool around with your Dharma mind. You shouldn't just go to any initiation you hear about. You shouldn't just go to any teaching you hear about. You should check out the teacher. Okay? It's a very, very delicate question. If he teaches you, for example, that something non-virtuous is virtuous, then if you do it, he goes to hell, of course, but you go to hell too. And it hurts a lot. Even in this life, you'll start to get bad results. Okay? If he teaches you something wrong, something non-virtuous, or if he teaches you something stupid about emptiness, it's not true at all, it'll mess you up very badly. At the best, you just, nothing will happen. And after 10 years, you say, I don't know, I've been going to Dharma class for 10 years, nothing happened. And at the worst, you'll get in big problems. You'll really have big mistakes. And you see it all the time. You see many cases where teachers have taught people that something is virtuous, which is obviously not virtuous, and then they ruin them. So,
Michael?
Yeah?
Don't you really mean a would-be Dharma teacher?
I mean a would-be. I mean a so-called
because
Dharma
teacher. Because, of course. How could a Dharma teacher hurt anybody?
Of course. Okay, so, we're going to learn tonight the 10 qualifications of a Lama. What should you look for before you go to a Lama? Okay. And the Sakyapandita, one of the wisest Tibetan Buddhists, he lived in the 1200s. He said, it's crazy. You know, if people are going to buy a car, in those days a horse. You know, they check the teeth, they check the legs, they run it around, they go see 25 horses. And then after many weeks, they choose one horse. Because this is all their money that they have. They're putting into this one horse. They buy the horse and the next day they find out he has a bad leg. They lose all the money they've saved in Tibet for maybe years. Okay, but a bad Dharma teacher could screw you up for your life. It's not just your bank account. It's your mind. It's your soul. Right? Your spirit. He can mess you up. So you should take a lot more care in choosing a Dharma teacher than you take in anything. Choosing someone you have a relationship with, something like that. Nowadays people check out, is this guy might have AIDS and this girl might have AIDS, I'm going to check out. You know? paid to kill you once. A bad Dharma teaching, so-called Dharma teaching, can kill you many times. Seriously, very, very dangerous to get into a relationship with someone if they're not qualified. So, what are you going to look for? You know, check the tires, check the carburetor. We'll make a list of 10 things that you should look for. Who wrote this list? It's from the Dodekyen, Suchalokara. Yeah, I believe that's a summary. Hey, like, one of the most important early Buddhist saints wrote this book. And this is quoted always in lists of what to look for.
What is the name of it?
Sutra Alankara. The book says 400 verses, I think. Shikyaka. No, it does say Sutra Alankara. Yeah. I mean, if you really want to know, you're not required to know this. That's the Sanskrit. Sutra means sutra, word of the Buddha. Alamkara means to make ready, which is a Sanskrit word for an ornament. Because when you put it on, you're ready to go to the party. You don't have to know that. This quotation comes from that text. That text is in the Dengyur. The point is that it's a very, very old book. It's about 1,500 years old. And it is good. It's a good book. It's right. Sangha knew what he was talking about. Okay? And, and this is his verse about the 10 things you should look for in a teacher. What 10 things should you look for in a good teacher? Okay? Check if he's qualified or not. Because you are risking your life. You're putting your life in his hands, basically. He's fooling around with your mind. Okay? If he puts bad ideas into your mind, you will suffer greatly. It's not so bad to learn bad habits, smoking, drinking, that's one thing. But to learn wrong ideas about the world, wrong ideas about your spiritual practice, is poison. It's much worse than a bad habit like smoking or drinking or something like that, because it will ruin your life. So, very, very important. Shenyin means spiritual friend, spiritual guide.
Guide or friend or both?
Like, both of these words are words for relative or close friend. Shen means like a friend, and Nian means a relative. So it means literally your friend, meaning your Dharma friend, meaning your teacher. It's the person who you're trusting your mind to. Shenyin. Tuluwa. Tuluwa is the past tense of a verb that means to tame something. Like, duwa is what you do to a wild horse during a rodeo. He starts out crazy and you get on him and you beat him and you beat him and finally he's friendly.
Subdue?
You can decide.
But it's subduer or subdued?
No, finished. Tamed. Subdued.
Subdued.
Controlled. The noun duwa means vinaya. Okay? That is the whole part of the Buddhist books which teach about morality. The vows of morality. Okay? In Thailand it's vinaya. Okay? Vinaya. You have Vinaya and you have Abhidhamma. You have those two traditions. You're Hinayana country and you have very strong. You have those two. Your canon is 45 books and you still have the Vinaya and you still have the Abhidhamma. This is Tuluwa. It means how to get tamed, how to get control. Morality. Okay? Tuluwa. Shiva. Shiva means, do you know? Shiva. Do you know Shine?
Tranquility?
You were studying this is the Shi of Shine. This Shi means peace. Peace. There's another Shi that means to kill. To die. And they're related. Rest in peace, right? The very latest. After you she, you she. Shiwa. Nier Shiwa means really peaceful.
So is Shiwa peace or is she peace?
Shiwa is peace. Shiwa is peace. Nier Shiwa means very peaceful. This is an advertisement for this computer project. This verse doesn't tell you much. Okay, he has to be peaceful. Very peaceful. Control. What does it refer to? So I just look it up. I have 40,000 pages in here. I just say, okay, is that verse, does anyone discuss that verse? He went right to the Lamrim Chemwa of Tsongkhapa. And he's explaining the whole verse. Incredible explanation. So great, you know. I don't have to go, we used to have to go flip through like thousands of pages. We used to spend weeks looking for one quotation, you know. Now I just ask it. It just asked it in about 30 seconds. It came up. Here's a nice explanation by Tsongkhapa. So I can basically carry around the Kangen Tengu. All the Tibetan explanations. So we'll go through Tsongkhapa's explanation. He says, if you haven't dulwa yourself, it would be crazy to say that you could dulwa anyone else. And therefore,
Tsongkhapa commenting on this verse.
Tsongkhapa is explaining this very verse.
Commentary on this verse.
Tsongkhapa.
So it's a sangha being commented on by
Tsongkhapa in the Lamrim Chemwa, the greatest, maybe the greatest Tibetan book ever written. And he says, how could anyone dulwa someone else if they didn't dulwa themselves first? And he says, therefore, you should seek a lama who has dulwa himself. And if you ask me, this is all straight translation from Tsongkhapa, if you ask me, how does somebody dulwa himself, it's not enough to say that he's just done anything at all to become dulwa. It's that he has used the three trainings to become dulwa. And this dulwa, this one refers to the first training. Okay? This dulwa refers to the first of the three famous trainings. There are three famous trainings. We call labasum. Okay? The first one is morality. Morality. Which is basically what? What's the roughest collection of Buddhist morality ever collected? The calendar right there. Okay. There are 84,000 bad deeds that you can do. They collected them down into 10 because we can't remember so many. Okay. So basically, so it means someone who is keeping his morality. Someone. So first of all, if you're thinking about going to hear a lama, if you're thinking about starting a relationship with a lama, find out if he's keeping his morality. Okay. And there's the 10 moralities right now.
This is not 45, right?
Is it?
Exceptional morality.
Yeah, right.
Training.
Yeah. So the first word here, the first of the 10 qualities, which means subdued, tamed, refers to the first of the three trainings, which is morality. It keeps his morality well.
How does this relate to the crazy wisdom of school Dharma teacher? There's not an apparent tame behavior.
It's possible that a lama could do something extraordinary to help you, but you also have to be an extraordinary student to see it and not lose your faith and not commit a big bad deed. So better, we're normal people. We're not like Milarepa or somebody like that. I mean, we have to find a teacher who's got these 10 qualities. That's a normal thing. If you have some extraordinary virtue in your past, and you meet some extraordinary teacher who can read your mind, it's true, and it has happened, that he smashes you in the head and, you know, you realize he's a great lama and he's trying to help you. But
like Lopa and Naropa, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Normal, I'm thinking of people, we don't have this, but we don't have this kind of virtue. We are not those kind of special people. And we might as well admit it. Find a plain old straight lama who has these
skills. So what does that mean for all those lamas that are teaching that way and all those students that are following those lamas?
Can I say something? I would assume that it's there. It's just that it's different.
By the way, we'll get
you can't see it.
We'll talk about it.
It must be there still. It just isn't as clear and straightforward and as easy as for us lunkheads, you know. But it would just be
just
being displayed in a different
fashion. And they've set up things that they said.
That's why it's all crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll come. It's a valid question. It's a good question.
Well, I think the question is, he's saying, can it be that some teachers don't have this? I doubt it. If they appear to be crazy, they would still have it.
That's true, too. I mean, they might. It's true that they do have morality and they're pretending not to have morality. But I don't want to get into that question. It will come. It will come in tonight or next week. Promise. If it doesn't, then bring up again. Okay, doula means someone who's keeping the ten moralities. Plain old ten moralities. It's the plain old ten moralities that make tantra work. It's the plain old ten moralities that make a doula. It's the plain old ten moralities that give you all the beautiful results that you ever wanted. Okay. Not very popular to say that, but it's true. And it just makes you happy. And you just keep it. Okay, Dua. Shiva. So Shiva refers obviously to the second of the chains.
Let's see what he says.
You said Lepasum was lovers?
Lepasum. Lepasum is the word in Tibetan for it. You don't have to know it. It's for the three trainings. And the three trainings are morality, and the second one is concentration.
But it's three trainings for a teacher or for anyone?
The three trainings are for anyone. Okay. But the first quality of a good lama refers specifically to the first training. He should have good morality. And it's the plain old ten moralities up there. He doesn't hurt people with his body. He doesn't lie. He doesn't try to split up people with his speech. He doesn't have weird ideas that will hurt people. He doesn't dislike other people. Plain old morality. Dua. Shiva. Okay? Shiva means peaceful. It refers to the second training. Anybody know what it is? Second training? And so Kaba makes an interesting point. He says the word Shiva refers to his ability to keep his awareness and his mental guard up so that he can keep his morality. He's not talking about regular concentration here. Tsongkhapa is explaining to you that you are a teacher who has mindfulness. Okay? He doesn't forget to keep his morality and suddenly lie and then say later, I shouldn't have lied. Okay? He has the concentrative ability. Concentration here doesn't mean keeping your mind on a visualization. It means keeping your mind on what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking, so that you don't break your morality.
Can you repeat some copies?
Yeah.
Ability to.
He says the word Shiva here refers to the ability within your mind to use recollection and awareness to do the good deeds that are mentioned under the Dua and to avoid the bad deeds that are the opposite. That's exactly what he says in Tibetan. So it's the ability to keep your mind on what you're saying and what you're thinking and what you're doing. That's what concentration means in this case. That's what Shiva means in this case.
Is this also from the Lama Rinpoche?
All the explanation tonight will come from the Lama Rinpoche. And it's all of this verse. Okay. Nyer Shiva refers to the third training. Nyer Shiva refers to the third training. Okay? The third training is what?
Exceptional
wisdom. Okay? Exceptional wisdom. Wisdom. Tsongkhapa says the word very peaceful, exceptional peace, he says, refers to the ability to analyze all objects using that special kind of concentration called shini, shamatha, okay, quietude, which makes his mind especially, how would you translate lesuruma?
Huh?
It's the lesuruma in Beirut. Leru literally means
approaching.
It means
accumulating.
It means if you work out all day,
making fit.
Yeah, it's like fit. It means you've worked out all day, and then if someone says, "Okay, can you help me carry this box?" You're already leru.
Broken in.
Ruma means fit. Le means for the work. Fit for the work.
Suitable to the task.
Like that.
So can you say the whole thing?
Yeah, I'll say it again. The word near Shiva in this verse, he says, refers to the training of wisdom, where that lama utilizes that perfect concentration called shamatha to investigate reality. He has that ability. Yeah. He says, Nyeshiwa, I'm genuinely
coming.
Refers to that special ability of concentration called shamatha, right? I'm sorry, refers to the training of wisdom where that lama uses that special concentration called shamatha to investigate reality.
What's that mean? What does that mean?
It means that the ability to concentrate here, what we call shamatha, is a tool. You could use it for anything. You can get shamatha towards meditating that there's a horn on your head. It's a neutral object. You can get shamatha, you can develop perfect concentration. You can have a perfect visualization of a horn on your head. It doesn't help anything, it doesn't hurt anything, it's just neutral. But if you aim that same concentration at the most virtuous object of all, emptiness, then you can finish all your suffering. You can stop suffering, all of your suffering. So this lama has that ability. He has that perfect concentration, and he aims it at reality, at ultimate reality.
Every time the last number is no lion that unless the someone develops shamatha, that means karma binding, you will never be able to develop any mental power. That means with shamatha comes also clairvoyance and reading and speech.
We consider those minor results.
Yeah.
You can. You can read other people's mind. You can. But this refers specifically to wisdom, the training of wisdom. He uses that. So my boss has shamatha, right? Oprah has it. He has it. He won't eat. He won't sleep. I mean, he can work. We were with him in Japan. He worked like 22 hours straight. We all died. He was eating sugar cubes and chewing sugar cubes, you know. And his concentration is just, you know, like that. And that's for like 12, 15 years. But the object is meaningless. This is where that concentration is aimed at. What is emptiness? What is reality? True reality? Ultimate reality?
I go to shamatha.
Shamatha is only the ability to concentrate. That ultimate ability to concentrate. Which is aimed at emptiness.
So this is specifically saying that not just all objects, well, all objects of wisdom specifically to include...
Yeah, he says, yangdape dun la so so che. That's a code word. Yangdape dun means the pure object, meaning emptiness. So so che means to analyze. And you'll learn that in year number 3.
So how does that fit into your translation?
Perfect. Where is the perfect? I just added that. No. The concentration is perfect. But I just called it emptiness. I didn't call it the pure object.
You're saying that they're applying perfect concentration to investigate reality.
Right.
So does this imply if a teacher has attained the ninth stage of shamatha that they're not qualified teachers?
Right. We'll talk about that, yes. That'll be the last sentence.
You just said the last part of the sentence. Training of wisdom, that's how we utilize the best wisdom.
special concentration called Shaman.
To investigate ultimate reality.
To investigate
ultimate
investigate, there'll be an analytical meditation.
It comes in two types. One is, we will spend years on it, don't we? It comes in conceptual, which are the preliminary ways of understanding emptiness, in a class, intellectually, and then direct, which is also called social change, which is also called an examination of reality.
So we might as well finish this off then and ask, is it just plain saying that the guy has to have, or gal has to be able to have perceived emptiness?
Basically.
So a real teacher is someone who has attained the perception of emptiness.
Yeah, direct perception.
Is that like the first level of the...
Yeah, first level is apathy.
Has to be somebody who's already achieved to be a qualified teacher.
Does it say that? I mean, let me...
I mean, you know, on the way there, you know, using shamatha to head in the right direction, or let's just...
it's not necessary, because you can use shamatha to investigate ultimate reality before you perceive emptiness, but
shamatha
has to have one of the, so you have to have one of the two realizations, the conceptual...
Yeah, he does have conceptual.
Right.
That's a minimum.
Right, so not necessarily the direct perception. Yeah.
He doesn't say that. Yeah.
Okay. So we cut out a lot of people.
So how can you ever know this about your teacher?
Ask
him.
I never
tell you.
In private,
we'll talk about that. It's a good question. I mean, obviously it's a good question. You know, well, suppose he claims to have reached that and has not. You know? And they say that many people who reach it will never say they have. We'll talk about that.
That seems backwards, doesn't it?
This is still in your book. It's now on page 9, line 3. A person who has basically tamed his own mental continuum with those three trainings that I just mentioned, he would then only have the good qualities, which is what Yunden means. Yunden means good qualities that refer to realization, that are mental, what you have understood, what you have realized. We call Tope Yunden. Tope Yunden means, there's two kinds of Yundens. Tope Lung Yunden and Lungi Yunden. There's two kinds of dharmas. Tope Chö and Lungi Chö. Tope Chö is dharma as it exists in the minds of living people. That's the dharma. What do you think Lungi Chö means? What's the other kind of dharma?
Written?
Yeah. Dharma as it exists in books. The teachings. The word. Yeah. There's two kinds of dharma. The Abhidharma, in the closing pages of the Abhidharma Kosha, after you've had like 8 years of suffering studying it, at the end it says, it predicts how long dharma will stay in the world. And it says, the Tope Chö will die first. You know, the books will die later. The books will disappear later. But first, for example, morality will die out in the world. As a Buddhist morality will die out, Buddhist concentration will die out, Buddhist wisdom will die out. So the dharma as it exists in your mind will die out first. And then the books will die out. You know, it means that there'll still be libraries that have these books that people will look at and say they don't know what they mean, and nobody will have those good qualities. So what Tsongkhapa says here is, everything I said before referred to Tope Chö, dharma as it exists in people's minds. But your teacher should also have Lung. Okay? Lung. And you guys know what a Lung is, right? I mean, you've been to Lung, right? What's a Lung? A Lung is a word for initiation, but it means a transmission. What it means is the word, capital W. A Lama sits with a book, like Lam Tso Sung, those 14 verses, and he just reads it to you out loud, and that puts a blessing in your mind. And we're going to try to get Ken Rinpoche to come here and give a Lung for Lam Tso Nung before the class is over. We're going to try to get him to come and give a talk about it, to give a Lung. He heard it from his teacher, he heard it from Pavoka. Okay.
Himself?
Yeah, from the original Pavoka. So that's great. That should say Pavoka. So, Lung means a word, dharma, scripture, the books. Lung. Chuk has two meanings. One is big mistake, and that's not what it means here. The other meaning is rich. Rich. Chupu means, hey, he's a fat cat, let's hit him up for the mouth. We do that all the time. Lungi Chö.
The E is
Lungi Chö. By. Rich in scriptural knowledge.
What was the other name?
It means a terrible error. Like a huge mistake. The one place it occurs in scripture, the other meaning, is what happens with all your future lives if you trust yourself to a bad teacher. It's that truth. It's that total, terrible error. Fatal error. So Lungi Chö means rich in scripture. He knows his stuff. He knows the books. It's not enough that he knows morality, and he has morality, he has concentration, he has wisdom, he has to know his stuff. Hopefully you'll be Lungi Chö by the time you finish 5 years. Minimum.
So then a whole phrase that we just...
We didn't get to it yet. He's working backwards, probably the Sanskrit was a different one. But we have finished Lungi Chö. Okay, how many qualities we got so far? Yeah, three. Who said two?
Four.
We got four. We got the three trainings, which are the mental qualities of your Lama. And now we got his, of course, this is a mental quality also, his knowledge of the books. So he has to have morality. He has the concentration to keep his morality. He has wisdom, which understands emptiness. And he knows his stuff about scripture. Okay, he's not just telling you what he thinks. Okay, he's using, it's very important that someone is using the original scriptures.
Now, two things. Is this referring to a direct lineage to the Buddha as well?
Sure. We'll talk about that. That's the next class.
The other thing, briefly, but you know, you keep mentioning what happens when you're with a bad teacher and so forth. And if a person has great deep faith and they're with a bad teacher and their motivation is really pure and everything, don't they get a benefit out of that anyway? The old famous example of the people diving on the trident and so forth.
They say, in answer to that, you will study it, and if I didn't have this up on the computer, I could call that up. There's this quotation in the Abhidhamma Kosha, and it says the people who... It's the best non-Buddhist religion is... What was it? The people who commit suicide thinking that's a spiritual path, because at least they want to get out of suffering. You know, it even says that from the standpoint of motivation, they have committed a virtue. And from the standpoint of the action, they committed a horrible non-virtue. But, yeah, that's true. I mean, but isn't it better to have a good motivation and a good teacher at the same time?
Yes.
I'm looking for the next question.
So the
Michael, did you tell us what Lakpa was?
Not yet.
Okay. And the quotation from Kappa was rather lengthy.
No, he just said that. He said it's not enough that your teacher has those qualities, those personal qualities of morality, concentration, and wisdom. He has to have the scriptural knowledge also, which refers to the physical dharma and not to the mental dharma. It's not enough that he has the dharma in his mind. He has to have the dharma in his hands. He has to be able to show you, look, this is a quotation from this book. It's not my own idea.
So you can paraphrase the rest of it, because it must be rich in book dharma.
But this is not giving you a good idea what to look for. Okay? In general, the books were written by real-life people. I mean, if you read the Abhidhamma Kosha, I worked on it for 10 years. I had no idea for the first 2 years what it was talking about. And I was very frustrated. And then at the end I said, you know, it was written by the first Dalai Lama, the commentary. And I said, who could think of that? You know, who could describe 35 stages of the path of seeing? You know, who could describe the 37 qualities of Buddha? You know, the 108 this and the 208 this. You know, who could spend that long in meditation to divide it into 100 different types, you know? And I've never even... how could I translate it? I don't even understand what it is. I don't understand the first level of it. So, you have to go back to those books. It's not good to have a lama says, oh, I have this new idea, you know. This is my idea. We don't need it.
It's not that
true. You have to be careful with dharmas. There are real dharmas. There are probably bullshit dharmas. I don't know. Okay? Dharma means like hidden teaching. You look under a rock and you find a book. It's possible. It's possible. And it's possible that the opposite happens. But I'm just talking, again, it's in the case. Don't look for the abnormal. I mean, maybe it's possible that through the abnormal somebody gets a good result. But everyone gets a good result in the normal.
It seems like in some traditions, dharmas are the normal. I mean, it's not the case.
We're going to do this one, then we're going to take a tea break. They need up to Popa. We're skipping to the beginning of the next line, and he'll go back to that line. I'm sorry. Deni means thusness. 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 Yeah. But don't be shy, okay? If you have a question, just ask.
We go dust.
It It's not an English word. It's like a very strange English word. It means emptiness. It's another word for emptiness.
Suchness is okay.
Topa means realize. It means to fully realize suchness is better.
Actually, it's dustness.
No, there's another word for such. It happens to be. It means just that. The very that.
Just that.
The very.
Yeah.
Rapta means, means very much, Topa means to realize. Totally realize emptiness. Okay, if you want it easy, say totally realize emptiness. Totally realize emptiness. Now let's see what Tsongkhapa says. Jet Tsongkhapa. He says the word Deñi Topa refers to a person who has the perfection of wisdom to a very exceptional degree.
Exceptional what?
I'm sorry, the training of wisdom to a very high degree. Not only has the training of wisdom, but he has it to a very, very high degree. Right. No. What we just spoke about training wisdom, he uses that special concentration to analyze reality. Basically, he says here, and I'm paraphrasing it, he has perceived emptiness directly. And that's Tom had made. So now Tom's point is well taken. He said, well, did that other one mean that he perceived emptiness directly? And I said, well, it could, but it didn't have to. And now he says, he has perceived emptiness directly. No. You see emptiness directly before you reach Buddha. Then he says...
Then what's the difference between Nishiwa and...
Good point. Okay. I would say this is just a higher stage of perception of emptiness. Before he was analyzing reality.
Kind of analytical realization.
But that can also refer to direct perception. Before, it was the general training of wisdom. You don't have to achieve the lowest path to have the training of wisdom. You can have the training of wisdom and not achieve the lowest of the five paths, which we're not going to talk about. Okay. You can say that the first one, Vilma, refers more to an understanding of emptiness and the ability to analyze emptiness, but now it's that he's seeing it directly. Ability to see it directly. And then Jetsukaba says, De menai lun riki tope kan duk suo. And even if he doesn't have that direct perception of emptiness, they say, he says, meaning there are good books that say, he can only have perceived emptiness through logic and through his scriptural understanding. Okay, so it does not have to be direct. He just has a special understanding of emptiness, more special than the one we talked about before. And he either sees it directly or some good books say it's enough that he has understood emptiness very well using reasoning, and scripture.
Which is the intellectual, the first of the two understandings.
It basically
which has to come before the second of the two.
Yeah. So basically, he has either seen it directly, or he has a very, very good intellectual understanding of it. Fifth was written scripture.
We were going to talk about...
I'm sorry, fifth was...
Bhakpa and order of scripture.
So the order is that.
At least totally realized the first level is not the...
No, not even the first level. He even said, it's okay if he just has a good introduction.
So not even he's close to realizing the first level.
Well, it says he has direct, and then Jeff Acosta says, and some good books also say that if he doesn't have a direct, it's good enough if he has a high intellectual
understanding. Can you repeat my book, please?
I'm leaving here, I don't care. Morality, concentration on his morality, according to Jeff Acosta. The training of wisdom, which you can have at a pretty preliminary stage. And then he knows the books, very good at scripture. Then he has a high realization of emptiness, very good understanding of emptiness, either direct understanding, which is very difficult, or a very high intellectual understanding, which is also difficult. Okay. Now the next quality that Dipankapa mentions is Yunden Lakpa. Now he's going to go back, okay? Why is he doing it out of order? Maybe the Sanskrit book. Remember, this is a translation from Sanskrit. This is a Tibetan version of a Sanskrit original. The book was written in Sanskrit. Yunden Lakpa. Yunden means good quality. Good quality. Examples of Yunden are, you know, knowledge, concentration, morality. Lakpa means special,
highest,
exceeding, you can say. Special, exceeding. Special good quality.
Yunden is good quality.
Yeah. It's a common Tibetan name. By the way, Yunden. Yongden. Alright. And so Jetsun Kapa says, he's doing it at night. He says, even if a person has those mental good qualities, which were the first three, or first four, I mean, first three and number five were realizations. Number four was just knowledge of books. He says, even if a person has qualities like that, if he's less or only equal to his student in those qualities, it doesn't help. He's got to be over. Lakpa means
what?
His knowledge has to exceed that of his student. When I used to play tennis when I was a kid, and my coach would tell me, I don't allow you to play tennis with someone who's worse than you or someone who's as good as you. You always have to play with someone better. He wouldn't allow us to play with anyone who was worse or better or the same. We had to play with someone who beat us up. That way we learned. So Yunden Lakpa means that the teacher should, whatever he's teaching you, he should know better than you, supposedly.
Okay. Does that mean just in the knowledge or in all the qualities?
All the qualities.
All the qualities.
Yeah. And then he quotes another book called the Collection on Lamas, and it says, you don't have to write this down, but the book says, if you go to a teacher who is less than you,
you'll decline.
You'll go down. If you go to a teacher who's your equal, you'll just stay the same way. If you go to a teacher who is over you on those things, you'll achieve the highest goals. Therefore, try to find a teacher who knows more about it than you do. Okay, that's it. This is a beautiful point. Jetsun Kapa says, now I have finished how many qualities? Those refer to qualities about the teacher's own person, about the teacher himself. Now, what do you guess the other four are going to refer to?
What the teacher has to say, or teach.
How can he lead other people? He says here that the remaining four refer to qualities by which that teacher helps other people or leads other people.
Excuse me, Michael, have we done that?
No, we have not. Good question. He quotes a very famous scripture, which I've seen quoted by the first Dalai Lama also. You don't have to write it down, but just listen to it. The Buddhas do not clean away your bad deeds with water. They do not wave their hands over your head and your suffering is removed. The only way that they can free you is by teaching you the Dharma, which they themselves... Oh, and it says that they also can't move their understanding to your mind without saying anything. The only way they can lead you, the only way they can free you is by teaching you the truth. And that's a famous quotation. You can't wash away your bad deeds with water. They can't, you know, Yeah. They can't. The only thing that a Buddha can do for you, it's very famous, in Tantra it's very famous, the only thing he can do is teach you. The only way he can communicate with you is normally by teaching. Now, it's part of the proof for your teacher being the Buddha himself. But that's another story.
So what is it with these teachers that tear the curtain in front of the student's eyes so that they can suddenly perceive?
Well, it's possible that the Buddha, I mean, this is also Dharma teaching, and it's in the books.
But isn't that contrary to what you just said?
Well, no, it means... What it means is basically that the Buddha cannot... The Buddha has to relate to you. And normally relating you means teaching you. It's the only way he can help you
is to interact with you in some way.
You are in this realm, and the realm of enlightenment is over there, and the only person between you and that, the only person that can take you there is someone who can talk to you and make you understand something. That's it.
And yet,
with
these other teachers,
very rare, very unusual. That could be
somebody that thinks the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, somebody who's
well,
so
by
right,
way,
ready
by
to
way,
pull off
is,
the tree.
It is
right?
Explained like that. That in his, there's a thing called a Rangsangye, Pratyeka Buddha, which means someone who, without a teacher in this life, suddenly he achieves nirvana. The explanation in Buddhism is that he had 100,000 teachers before.
Well, no, I was thinking more of the case where the teacher goes to the student, you know, touch their foreheads together and the student gets the boom.
No, if it could happen, I tell you this, and it's absolute truth. If you could do that and save a person's soul, core, okay, then obviously the Buddha would have done it a long time ago. We would not be here. If there's something physical I could do to you, if there's anything beyond teaching you at your own level that I could do for you to get you out of suffering, of course they would have done it a long time ago.
So what does it mean, like when Sogo Rinpoche and others write about how their teacher, you know, took them and hugged them and gave them, you know, you got an immediate transmission as a result of that?
Oh, it's possible if there's a special relationship between them, there's been for many lifetimes. It's possible. But it's abnormal. It's not for... We need understanding.
Well, you're talking about people on our level. I mean, it is certainly possible, I would imagine, the higher you go, to be able to communicate with Buddhas like Ditsongkhapa did, for instance, by seeing them or having them in your mind and explaining to you directly like that, right?
Right, yeah.
This could be a form of that, perhaps. There are very high beings in them already.
Okay, now we have to go to... He's going to talk about four qualities that a person has for communicating, teaching other people Dharma. I need the text. You
want to
read it?
Oh, yeah.
This is the English translation.
What's that on page 9? That's 9.
It's supposed to be right next to the cocoa like that?
Yeah.
It's part of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's just
covered
about one
line.
You want to connect it?
It is. Yeah, it's another line.
Okay.
How many lines of the verse have we covered, by the way? Most verses have 4 lines. We're on the third. We just finished the third line. We got one more line to go. Okay. About Ma Ke Din. Ma means to speak or to teach. Okay, I think you know. Do you know Kepa? Kepa means wise or skilled. Wise or skilled. Master.
And then it just means he has that quality. He has the quality of being a master teacher. Okay? He has then the quality of being a master teacher. So Jetson Kapa says, Ma kebani jigatewe rumala keshin duinduwe lola kewala soa means, the expression master teacher means, he knows the right order in which to give you the teachings, and he gives it to your capacity. He knows what to teach you, so he teaches you the right thing at the right time, and he teaches it to you at the right quantity at the right time. Okay.
So what is a
ma? Ma means to teach, to talk. Okay. So it refers to two things. He knows the right order for you in which to teach the thing. He's a good teacher, and he knows what you can handle. He knows, he understands your capacity, and he teaches you to your capacity.
Are we within those bounds now?
I knew something was there.
I didn't say.
I knew something.
What happens when you have
people? If you keep up at this level for 5 years, we can finish in 5 years. We can finish in 5 years. It's a skeleton. I mean, we're skipping 50 seconds. That's the slowest. Slowest we can go. Don't worry, just hang in. Don't worry. And it's real stuff, it's not fluff. Fluff is easier. I could fluff you and you go home happy and...
Now we don't go home happy, but...
Once
in
a while, so often.
So we come back.
I thought you erased Delta. Lockhart, Munchen, Tuchin.
She's still worth it.
I do too.
We'll come back. We'll get there, no matter what. Which is connected to the other word with this why. Tewa, which is the real word. Tewa means love. Love. Love is the best translation. There's many, many words in Buddhism for love, compassion, mercy, loving kindness. It's a wonderful language. It's got all these beautiful words.
What language were you?
Tibetan. But Tewa is exactly love. Dagni means the embodiment of love. I mean, it literally means the person.
Incarnate,
yeah. I mean,
love incarnate.
He is love. The embodiment of love. And Jetsu Kapa says, Sewa ni, the word sewa, refers to a person who teaches because he is motivated by love and compassion, and not out of a desire for gain or fame or respect of others.
What is Dagni?
Dagni means the whole person is love, just 100% love. Okay? It's difficult in English. We have some English words, but don't worry about it. You don't need to know that. It just means every part of him has love. Every part of him has love. And specifically, he's teaching out of concern for you, and not out of anything that he's going to get. His motivation is not that you're going to like him, or that you're going to respect him, or that you're going to give him something. He's just doing it for you. That's what the love means. Thank you.
motivation is not that you're going to like him, or that you're going to respect him, or that you're going to give him something. He's just doing it for you. That's what the love means. Stay with Dami. Oh, guess what's next?
France. Finally.
We're back to the Tinche, okay? Do you remember the Tinche we had in the last line? Okay. I didn't write the design. It was in the last, it was in the second line? Mm-hmm. It was in the second line. We had a Tinche. Everybody find it? I already erased it. It was in the second line.
No.
You have it already.
Yeah.
No, it was in the... I have put it on the board already.
Yeah.
Second line of Tibet, fourth line of the explanation. Fourth reserve, fourth audience.
It came above. But you don't have to worry about it. And you don't have to know the Tibet. You just have to know the Tibet. For the homework and quiz, you just have to know the... And I've given you like three different words for each Tibetan word. You just choose one that you like, and that it gives the meaning.
You don't want us to write this in phonetic
Tibetan?
Not
in phonetic, no.
We don't have to?
No, you don't have to.
I didn't know that.
English chat. Okay. Sun means effort. Okay? Sun means effort. The fourth parameter is called Sun also. That's the Sun of Sun. Che means, this is not the Che that means big, it's the Che that means he has. He has good effort. He tries hard.
Is that referring to the fourth parameter?
No.
It's not. It's not the same thing that the parameter is talking about.
Well, I'm going to explain it right now.
Okay.
The classic presentation of the six parameters is really the Bodhicharya, which you will study. It's a great, great book. It's worth it just to do the 5 years to hear that. The fourth chapter starts out with the line, Tsun Kang Gela To. It means, what is the definition of effort? It is to delight in doing good things. Nothing to do with trying hard. Nothing to do with sweat. Nothing to do with, being busy. It's just to enjoy doing good things. To take joy in doing good.
That's effort.
That is what the fourth perfection is.
Joy.
And this is different.
Joy. Now this joy, this tsun, means shengi dunla towa tenpa o. It means that this person has, that lama, has a very deep-rooted joy in working for others.
Tip number 9.
I forgot.
Yes, we're on number
8.
9.
Yeah. No, it's 9.
9.
9. And this is Jerry Vitek
again? Yeah, that's all he says.
It's a very deep-rooted yoga.
Chai-har?
He does not mean chai-har. It means he loves to help other people. And that love is firm. He says tembo. He's not going to change. It's not like, oh, I'd like to help you today, but tomorrow I don't like to help
you.
Number
8,
though.
I don't remember.
And number 8 means he loves to help people.
Right.
No, number 8 is, why does he teach? Is it because he loves you? Or is it because he wants you to like him? Or he wants you to give him some money?
He doesn't want to in return.
Right. He doesn't want to become a big lama, a big famous lama, thousands of students.
That's right.
And what is
number 9? Number 9 is, he likes to help other people.
So that sounds
joy.
That's
more paramedic. Oh, sure. But there are other kinds of fourth parameters which are not shengi dun la to tembo, although it's mostly that.
I mean, really, it sounds like this is referring to that.
Not specifically. If it were, you would have seen the other spire somewhere. You see, that's the way Tibet stuff works.
Okay, but I mean, isn't it natural that the parameters might show themselves in some of these things?
Yes, Jimba never appears. But we'll get, don't worry. Okay, last part. Yeah. And then you can go home.
Why you didn't give us the Tibetan
line for the last? I did already, but I erased it. It was in the second line I gave it.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Okay.
Number 10. It's wherever.
Matt, I suppose TTPS is not really useful. You should compare the Colorado program. Is the Colorado program available on Windows form yet?
And it's all messed up. They had a fight, and they don't like each other, and they're not developing.
I mean, so to do your notes on a computer with the vet, and you probably pretty much need that program.
That would be the best, but there's other ones.
Is that just effort, or is it something more?
So the J means he has. Yeah.
Okay,
please say, Kyowa.
Kyowa.
Kyowa Pang.
Kyowa Pang.
Okay, here's what Jeff Tokap says. Kyowa Pang means, by the way, Kyowa means to be fed up with something or disgusted. Okay, tired. It comes in the Timbuk, right?
Oh?
Yeah, and we'll talk about it. Joa
Pong
means to, got rid of it.
Got rid of it.
Doesn't have it.
Which is which?
Joa means disgust or tired, and Pong means got rid of it. Got rid of Joa.
Got rid of the disgust?
Yeah. Or being tired. And I'll explain to you what it means. Job means like, you know, you don't want to do something and somebody says do it, you know. That's job.
Like,
yeah, it means that. Yeah.
I've heard that a lot.
I'm tired, man. I don't think it's all good
tonight. I don't know.
Job Bamani, Jason Kappa says, Yang Yang Chepe Mingyawa. He does not get tired if he has to explain something over and over again.
Which is good if I'm around.
I.e., he says, he can practice patience with the difficult task of teaching.
And another paramita.
Okay, so you should, the teacher should have those 10 qualities. I mean, you should check, and you should try to find out. You should not go to a teacher, any old teacher who's giving some initiation, or you never heard of him, or check him out. Talk to his students, talk to people who know him, read what he's written, find out if he has those qualities. Now, the Lam Rim has a famous sentence in it. It says, well, if you had to go look for one like that, maybe you wouldn't find anybody. So, you're stuck with what you can get. Lamrim says that.
No.
But at least check. At least try. I'm serious. I mean, it's not so much that I have great faults, and my faults will hurt you. You know, the fact that I still have some very bad habits. And I do. And some dirty habits.
You got 5 years.
No, I have weaknesses. I have kinds of desire. And I have kinds of anger. Mostly desire. I have those things. And whatever faults I have will infect this class. And I admit them. I have them. And I have the good luck to study a lot. So I mean, I'm mainly just admitting them, and I you have to be careful. You know? But even more dangerous is if someone. At least I can teach you what's right. I'm not perfect myself. I have not been able to do it as well as I would like to. But what I'm saying is, watch out for someone who's teaching you something very dangerous, or someone who will hurt you. I will hurt you because I'm not perfect. But someone else may hurt you because they really don't know this stuff, and they're actually teaching you something that will hurt you. And your real estate, your mental real estate, and your spiritual real estate is very precious. And if someone makes it dirty, it's very hard to clean. So it just means to be careful. These are the qualities you should check. These are the things you should have.
Perhaps it could have added an 11th one. Says, and if the teacher doesn't have all these above, at least if they admit it.
So,
question that was asked earlier was, you know, how can you tell on a lot of these things with your mental concepts?
How do you tell? It's very difficult. I mean, how do you know if the person understands what you're saying? One thing to do is study some emptiness yourself. And then go hear how he explains it. You know, if he's explaining emptiness in any manner, like, oh, nothing, or everything's just the way you think it is, you can do anything you want, nothing matters, oh, that's just your, you know, just your idea, if they're not talking about, the big test for understanding emptiness, are they talking about karma? If emptiness proves karma, karma proves emptiness. They're not talking about morality. The same moment that they're talking about emptiness, they do not understand emptiness. And they're not leading you the right way. If the day that you really understand emptiness, you will want to be good. And plain old good. Plain old ten morality.
And scriptural understanding and stuff like that.
Sorry. That you can check. Say, look, what are you teaching? You know, are you teaching something from the Kangyur and the Tengyur, the Buddha's own word, which is the Kangyur, and the commentaries on it are pure, period. And if you can teach that, that's good. He says, well, you don't need that. I got this. Direct, you know, go to the, you know, say, well, I don't know.